Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good morning, good evening, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunes Lunaticos, Lunatic Mondays, the very first and only, not the only, the very first bilingual show for CSM Podcast. We're not the only anymore, Laura. We've been having Paganos del Mundo for a year now. I just keep forgetting. I want to be the only one, but don't mind me, please. Today we have an excellent guest for Lunatic Mondays. We have Chris Allen, and he tells us on his biography, I'm a published author, pagan teacher, and alternative healer. I've studied alternative spirituality and healing for over 28 years. My goal is to help students reconnect with their shamanic words in order to find magic and healing. He's part of the Fellowship of the Phoenix, and he has written a number of books, a collection that if you don't have it, I don't know what's wrong with you, honestly. He wrote Upperworld Shamanism and Magic of the Celestial Realm, Underworld Shamanism, Myth and Magic, Deeper into the Underworld, Death, Ancestors, and Magical Rites, and some other titles that we will be talking about soon. I'm also very proud to say he's my friend. Welcome, Chris Allen. How are you today, honey?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to have you on the show once more. And I have to tell people that I'm just used to this now with us, because every time we say we're going to pre-record, something happened, life happened, something gets in the way. So this is actually our third time for this show that we tried. And
that's funny.
It's just funny. I know, right? It just keeps happening.
But we're here now. That's awesome.
That's what's important. So how are you, honey? I'm really happy to know that you have a new baby in the oven. You have a new book coming up. And I really want to talk all about that new book.
I have two babies in the oven, actually.
You're going to have twins.
Well, then, not that they're twins, but they're going to be born a year apart. So, the new book for ecstatic prep for the spirits of the Lance, that comes out at Thanksgiving time. So that's going to be out in the fall. And I'm currently on my second or third draft of another book. That's going to be one. So busy, busy.
Very busy indeed. And actually, I knew about the books. I knew I'm going to let people into a little bit of the nitty-gritty of our planning, because you and I were talking about the book that is coming out on Thanksgiving time. And that's when you were going to come and talk about the whole thing about the book, which we will talk about it. But the reason that I invited you today is because I saw you as one of the first, if not the first, at least the first on my radar, English-speaking teacher, shaman, author, that jumped really quickly into doing things online. And we cannot live our life anymore without talking about the COVID-19. So when COVID happened and we tried to flatten the curve and this and that, what I noticed is a lot of people in the pagan community kind of panicked. They didn't know what to do. And as I told you before, this is it for the Spanish community. All we have is online. But for the Anglo community, it's basically new. And I saw you like immediately jumping into doing stuff online, and you know, like send them to your YouTube channel and classes online and all that, that you were already doing, but you were not doing as many. So tell me, besides COVID, obviously, how was the transition for you?
So some of these classes I've been thinking about doing ever since I got published back in 2016. I wanted to do an 8-part class in necromancy class and things, but, you know, I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. In the other project, Mystic Chat, which you're involved with us now, I wanted to do that for a long time, but it was, you know, we couldn't get people together, I didn't make the time, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm on furlough from my job. And I said, I have to make time to do this. The whole bunch of people with the whole COVID-19 and people didn't know who, and a whole lot of people that got laid off. I just said, hey, I'm going to do some classes. Some classes I charge, and some classes I do for free. Anything on YouTube. And it's just, but to be honest, I'm enjoying myself. It's a whole lot of fun. I think my favorite part of the whole thing is that I'm having students from, like, from Canada, from Australia. I have a student, he comes to all my classes now. He's from the UK, and I'm like, holy crap. It's just so amazing to be able to connect and teach shamanism, teach healing, teach magic to all these people. I would have never had the opportunity to have contact with if it wasn't for online. So I'm having a whole lot of fun with it.
I think there's a lot of fun, and there is, like you say, you know, this openness to people throughout the world. And we are such a global community, you know, that it makes sense to be part of it. So some of them you were already planning, and those are the ones that you're charging. So tell us, like, how think about, nobody knows how to use these platforms. So tell us how you got into, I'm going to do stuff online. What are you using? How you doing it?
So I use Zoom, and how I even found that Zoom is that I took some classes with a ceremonial magician author named Aaron Leachin. He's such a good presenter and author, and I have a very high level of respect for him. And he actually did a testimonial for my Upper World book. So he and I have been in contact, and I said, hey, I really enjoy your classes. How do you do them? And he goes, you got to get Zoom. So I checked it out, and it was funny because I am not an IT person by any means, but I was like, okay, I got to learn to teach and to the controls and to the camera and all that. So I went on YouTube and I watched video after video after video, how to do sound, how to do your camera, how to have a, you know, a backdrop and all that. And you know, I taught myself everything, like everything. And there was a few things I made a mistake of, like, you know, you forget to unmute yourself, or you're asking the class a question and you forget to unmute the class and wonder why nobody's saying anything. But, you know, it's not that hard. You get used to it. I think the hardest thing is that sometimes, you know, when you're teaching and I record the classes, is that whenever you record, you can't see your audience, so you only see yourself. And so you're talking to yourself right now. that's always kind of strange, because usually in the class setting, there's an engagement. I can see people's reactions. have any questions, but on Zoom you can't. I mean, sometimes you can, but because, again, when I am recording, I put it on speaker view and I don't see the audience, so I'm just kind of talking to myself, as what it feels like. So it's a lot of fun, though. I'm enjoying it.
I really resonate a lot with what you say, because this is a little bit of TMI. Forgive me for doing this, but I have the opportunity, if I wanted to, I could do this podcast. I could do this show, and it will be the Laura Gonzalez show, Laura Gonzalez speaking for an hour on every show, which is quite boring. I don't think people will be, you know, that mesmerized by having only Laura speaking for an hour. But the thing is, I couldn't. I have to do it on Spanish sometimes, because, you know, for Paganos del Mundo or for other shows, other podcasts that I've done where I'm teaching, and I'm only speaking by myself. And it is boring. It is, you really miss that engagement with the audience, with the people, with the students, you know? I mean, or is it us because we're educators and that's what we do?
I don't know. I mean, I have to admit, part of the fun of teaching is having the engagement. It's fun. And one of my favorite things is when you have a beginner or a person who's never done, like, say, shamanism, or they've never done a healing or whatever, can you teach them how to journey, or you teach them how to astral project, or you teach them how to connect with the earth, and you just see their face, and they're so happy, and they're like, oh, my God, this is so amazing. I'm so happy. I'm like, yeah, that's what I get out of, to see someone light up, you know. And on Zoom, it's a little harder. I mean, even if I put on gallery view, which I don't do a lot of the time, people are a little teeny tiny box, and you can't really see what's happening in their expression. And you know, we're just talking, and everything I teach, I've been teaching for a long, long time. So I know what I need to cover and what I need to say. But I want to say, for me, it doesn't get boring. I'm just thinking, because a lot of times, like, for example, the classes are an hour, and when I'm teaching a live class, if you get done early, you open it up for questions, and you can just share experiences and talk and get other people's experiences and have a dialogue. When you're on Zoom online, I'm just like, okay, I have to keep talking for another 15 minutes. So what am I going to say? So, oh, I know, I'll talk about this and this. And so that happens a lot too. So I'm like, I have 5 more minutes to keep talking. So.
Yeah, but I definitely, you know, I concur with what you say, that having people asking questions and being mesmerized by doing things for the first time, the dynamic, I can help it. You know, I think it's, as much as I love podcasting, because I do love podcasting, but it's the fact that you're interviewing somebody, that you're interacting with someone, that you're learning from a person. And people ask me, you know, why you love podcasts so much? Because I'm learning. I have these teachers here that I can ask them anything I want, and they love to talk about their area of expertise. So
yeah,
it's
totally.
Don't tell anybody, Chris, but it's like I'm getting a free class, you know.
That's awesome.
It is. It is indeed. So speaking of free classes, we have so much to talk about. Speaking of free classes, or classes in general. Of course, you jump both feet first into doing online stuff. You're doing your own thing, and then you're doing some that you're charging, you're doing some that you're free. So please tell us the things that you're charging for. When are they happening? How can people connect with you? And are they available only when you are teaching live, or can they purchase the class and maybe watch the video after the class happened?
So, I taught a shamanism class, an intro to shamanism class, and on Wednesday. I'm finishing up the last of the 8-part series of the Ancestor class. However, if you miss the class, you'll be able to purchase those videos. And I have a web designer, and I'm working with him to get him up on the website. So all you have to do is click, put your credit card information, and you get the video. That's going to be a hot second before that happens. However, I could always give people a link to the classes, to the ancestor classes, to the intro to shamanism class. I'm going to be doing some core classes. I just haven't decided what. If you, you know, I have that group of shamanism and a magic group, and I think I'm just going to take a poll and see what classes people want to take and stuff. And I'll probably start some more classes and things for that. But the ancestor class, it took up a whole lot of time, and it was awesome, and it was a good group, and I'm very happy I had that experience to teach that class. And now that that's over, I am going to start something new. I just have to talk to my people and say, hey, what do you want to see? What classes do you want? Because I don't want to design a class and then nobody takes it, because that happens. I mean, sometimes you're like, oh, I'll teach a class on herbalism, and then people are like, yeah, I don't care. So I want to create a class that people want to see. So I will probably have something out soon. But if they want the ancestor classes, they can get a hold of me. They can either do a friend request on my Facebook page, Chris Allen, A-L-L-A-U-N, or they can join my professional page, Chris Allen, author, teacher, healer. Either way, I am Ian. I can get you the link and stuff.
By the way, I woke up today to a notification to being recognized as the number one fan of Chris Allen, author, teacher, healer. And it says,
really?
Oh my God, that's
hilarious.
So there I am getting my badge now. So now I'm legit.
Oh my God.
I have that.
My number one fan. I love it. Well, I'm your number one fan too, by the way.
Oh, honey, you're too generous with me. And I think, you know, I'm very fortunate to have friends that are that I admire. And if I don't admire you, chances are I'm not your friend. Because I love, you know, learning, teaching, communicating. I think we move on the same wavelength, and that's why we have this admiration for each other. Thank you, by the way. But yeah, it's quite important that you feel proud of your friends, and I'm certainly proud of my friends, especially when you have so much to teach, you know, and it's such cool things. And yes, I have taken his classes too. They're very dynamic. They're very hands-on. And I think there is some sense of grounding in everything you teach that you're not because, you know, we've seen people that they wear this, like, grandiose persona. And at the end of the day, it's like you're teaching me the same thing that I could have written on the book. But with you, it's always talking about your personal experiences and grounding this situations. And I always love how you talk about your practice, because everything that you teach and everything that you write comes from your practice, and that's quite different than people whom are, and I know there's a derogatory term for them, but people that just read, and they have this accumulated knowledge because they read it, but they're not practicing. To me, that's quite important.
Well,
you know.
You know, when I first got formal magical training and everything, I'm one of those people who my brain just sees things differently, and so and I'm not a problem solver. You know those people who could have, like, you know, train A is going 20 miles an hour, train B is going 60 miles an hour. I can't do those problems. Like, I will sit there, my brain just cannot do it. So because I know that about myself, what I try to do is I try to figure out the mechanics behind something. Like, for example, astral projection. How does it work? How does your brain work? How does it affect your subconscious? And simply because when I was taking these classes, you know, when someone says, oh, just astral project, just think it. I'm like, I can't. I don't know what that is. So I remember sitting there and thinking, okay, so how can my brain work? And then I would research articles about the subconscious visualization and your shadow self. And I would read all these things because I'm like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get it. And then I would practice. So when I teach, that's how I teach. I'm like, okay, this is how it works. Because also, especially if you're a beginner, you know, you're like, is this real? Is it fake? Is it all, you know, in my imagination? And I usually tell you, it's all in your imagination. It's just your imagination is very powerful. You know, so I teach how I learn. And I don't want to say I'm a slow learner. I need to figure it out. Like, I need to, because I can remember taking classes and someone would say, oh, just figure it out. No, I hate that. I need to know exactly how to do something. Like, walk me through it like I'm five. You know, it's like, you know how people say, like in a conversation, oh, that thing over there. Okay, well, what thing? You don't see it? No, that's why I'm asking you. What thing? That thing over there, I'm like, okay, I hate that. So I have to explain.
Yeah, I get it. And maybe sometimes I think when I'm talking, like, I'm repeating too much, you know. And I tell my students, like, please forgive me if I'm repeating too much, but I know how I learn. And I learn by my teacher repeating the same concept three times, four times, and then I have to voice it. I have to verbalize it. And, you know, taking your example, oh, that thing over there, you're talking about that thing that is over there, and, you know, like, verbalizing it. Maybe because we're such good hearing learners, that's how I teach. And it's like, forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but I have to repeat this. I have to make sure we drill this concept. And the other thing is, you know, because I also teach ESL. By the way, I miss teaching ESL so much. We haven't since COVID. But part of the method that we use to teach ESL is repeating, because it's only by repetition that people understand certain concepts.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're teaching, you cannot tell somebody to figure it out. Now move into paganism and people who teach in paganism and magic. How dare you tell somebody to go figure it out? They're paying you for it. So, you know, don't tell people to go figure it out. You're being paid to help them figure it out. And yes, use your imagination. Yes, use your visualization. Yes, like our common friend used to say, Aaron, who told me this phrase, is through our imagination that the divine speaks to us. And that's Aaron's. That's an Aaron phrase. And through my imagination, the divine is going to speak to me in a way that I understand. So in my imagination, the most sacred thing will be a snake or a skull. And there might be people who are frightened by it. So it's not going to be the same. So it's a fine line between figure it out and how do you see it. You know, it's like...
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, I have a dear friend, and he was saying, he was born into paganism and witchcraft, and so he, you know, spells and potions and everything was how he grew up, and it never occurred to him to ask about what is the mechanics of a potion or a spell or a ceremony, because it was just so commonplace. And so I remember him telling me, just like, simply because you weren't born into this and you had to really research and understand it, you can explain your process of learning to other students, and they're really going to appreciate you for that. And so, to be honest, because of him, that really helped me for develop a way of teaching and speaking and things, because I'm like, okay, how do people learn? How would they understand? And I give examples, because sometimes I'm like, I can't think of an example, so I'm just going to talk through my own experience. Here's what happened to me. Here's how I blew up the house. I'm just kidding. I've never quite blown up the house. I've set things on fire, but I've never blown up
the house. But I think that's the best way. Well, you know, I am biased. I think that's the best way to explain somebody something is like, look, this is what the books say. This is what the one school of thought is about. And everybody swears by it. By the way, this is how I do it. And it could be the same way or it could be a different way. But I think people who are learning and are eager to learn, not just from the books, but for whatever reason, they fall with you or me or other teachers, and they want to know how we learn. So, you know, it's,
to me,
that's one of the richest experiences. And teaching, and go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing I teach is my failures. And I teach about how I screwed things up or I did the wrong thing or I didn't listen to my teachers. And not because I'm like, oh, do what I say. Here's what happens if you don't listen to your teachers. I always do like, okay, when I was learning this, I remember because spells don't really backfire. But they do exactly what you say. So if you write a spell and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it backfired. I'm like, well, I probably screwed up this spell. Yep, I was talking to the wrong deity and asking for the wrong thing. And so I got what I asked for, the wrong thing, you know. So.
Yeah. It is really important that, and that goes back to that humbleness, kind of like grounding that I was talking about, is to also say, yeah, I might be teaching here today, but I have made this mistake and I have learned from it. So don't make the same mistake, you know? Like I always tell people when I don't know if I ever told you, when I burned $214 doing a spell, and I always tell people, if you're going to do money spells, use coins. Don't use bills. Because that was
that's
a big
funny.
Offering. That was $214, but that's a story for another day. Hey, Chris, I want to invite you to go on a musical break because, believe it or not, we're on the half an hour mark. So I want to play something by Mama Gina because Mama Gina is going to be with us next month here on Lunatic Mondays. And I invite you to take a little break. Chris, we're going to take a five-minute break. We'll be back with more here with Chris Allen on Lunatic Monday, so don't go anywhere.
Stolen. So- king beneath the mountain. See the star against the black. You really haven't any choice, and there's no turning back. Persephone. Some say she led him on a chase through field and wood, and some say he ran her to ground. But when beauty is your weapon, and you burn like the sun, you draw the winter to you. There's just one way this tale can run. Persephone, run. Persephone, who you will be. I knew the beauty in the grave or the dying rose above. Will you take this darkling heart into your own to love, Persephone? Some say she bleeds ice and white rose. Some say she flows crimson red. One season in the year to taste the flowers bloom. Then all the world would think that she's returning to her doom. But she and her captor love a king. They know that it's not true. Persephone, run. Persephone, choose who you will be. Are you the beauty in the grave or the dying rose above? Will you take his darkling heart into your own to love, Persephone? Some say her father did bargain. Some say her mother did grieve. She may have lost a life, but how she gained a crown to rule each dying breath, to lay each body down, to deliver every soul to the wheel that still goes round. Persephone, run. Persephone, choose who you will be. Are you the beauty in the grave or the dying rose above? Will you take this darkling heart into your own to love? Are you the beauty in the grave or the dying rose above? Will you take his darkling heart into your arms to love, Persephone? Run.
And we're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, our very first bilingual show for CSM Podcast. And as I always say, it's not the only bilingual show. We also have a bilingual Saturday show called Paganos del Mundo. For those who are interested, those shows are both in Spanish and Portuguese. So the first Monday, the first Saturday is going to be Christian Ortiz in June. Then we're going to have Carolina Amor, who's joining back into Paganos del Mundo. Then we're going to have probably yours truly with a show on rituals, because that was, we were going to do that last month, we couldn't do it, so we're going to do it in June. And then, of course, the fourth Saturday of the month, we have Patricia Finclair with a show, an interview in Portuguese. And don't miss it because her interviews are amazing all the time. And then, of course, we're going to have Lunatic Mondays. The first Monday in June is going to be me and Monica Govin. We're going to be talking about astrology right in the middle of the year. And she's got amazing news for us. This is going to be in Spanish, of course. And then the show's in English for Lunatic Mondays in June. We're going to have Mama Gina. And then we're going to have a surprise guest. Da-da-da. Stay tuned. We don't know yet who's going to be on the second, on the fourth Monday for Lunatic Mondays. But on the second Monday, for sure, we're going to have Mama Gina and her wonderful music and all the stories behind the songs and her process of writing. If you don't know about Mama Gina, I'm not going to tell you. I'm gonna wait for you to listen to the show. But she has an amazing writing process. And this is not the first time that I know of a person that has the same situation that use it for art. What the heck am I talking about? Well, you're going to have to come back and listen to Lunatic Mondays when we interview Mama Gina. But also to remind you, of course, every Sunday we have with her archive shows on Sunday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on Wednesday, she has live shows, all new stuff. Two Tuesdays a month, we have Circle Talk. And two Thursdays a month, we have Moon Magic. So lots of shows, lots of podcasts, over 200 hours. A podcast that are archived on CSM Podcast, and you can listen to us. And today, I am very happy to welcome back Chris Allen. Chris, who is a very, very amazingly good author and has a new book coming, and that's going to be amazing. We're going to talk about the book in a few minutes. Like I say, the whole collection is amazing. Upper World Shamanism and Magic on the Celestial Realm, Underworld Shamanism, Myth and Magic, Deeper into the Underworld, Death Ancestor and Magical Rites, and The Other World, Ecstatic Witchcraft for the Spirits of the Land. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I cannot let you go without the shameless self-plug-in of Mystic Chat. Tell us about Mystic Chat. How was it born? I know I've joined for a few. I will be rejoining soon to continue on the series. But how did this idea came about?
So basically, all my friends are very talented, including yourself. And I just, you know, I have these conversations with some of these talented people like Amy Christensen, yourself, and Luke Babb. And every time I have these conversations with these guys, I'm like, wow, you guys are so good and so experienced and so talented. And they're all different. Like, you have a very strong Latina voice and what was happening in that community in Native American spirituality. And Amy's a very woman, so her background is fairy, and then Luke is heathen, and he talks about his experiences, and then I'm, you know, shaman, Native American, trad craft, ceremonial magician, healer, blah, 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 and we also have a very good dynamic, and we have a good feel for each other, and we're not just colleagues, that we're really good friends too. And so I wanted to invite people to have that conversation. And I was thinking about this a long time ago, and just like I was saying, it's just like, I don't have time. We don't have time. We don't have time. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna make the time now, especially that we're all sitting at home at our computers. And I just invite people to hang out with us. And then what I usually do, we record for about an hour, and we talk about everything from heathenism to misogyny and racism in the healing community, to just energy healing, to fairy, to the elves, to witches, to everything. And after about an hour, I'll stop the recording and we'll open it up to questions. And the only reason I do it that way is because I know some people are very shy about being recorded, and I want people to feel like they can freely ask us anything. And they do, and we just start talking about whatever, and people have questions, and it's a very and it's very interactive. I'm enjoying it a whole lot. In fact, like every time the hour goes by, I'm just like, oh my God, the hour went so fast, right? Like,
right?
Do you think the hour just flies by when we do it? And I like it because it's a real conversation. I purposely don't edit anything. I let people say exactly what they want to say. I don't know if I told you, we got some feedback the other day. Someone goes, you guys say too much. I'm like, well, that's because that's how people talk in real conversation. You know, you
right?
say too much. I'm like, well, that's okay. Because sometimes you're thinking and you're like, because you're trying to have, you're trying to figure out what you're going to say, you know? So, you know, I get other feedback too, but it's always good things like, oh, we liked your show. I appreciate you. I'm not sure if I told you, I think I told you, one of my favorite things is that there was a gentleman who says, hey, I really, you know, I noticed that as a host of the show that you have a stutter. And that really inspires me because I want to do public speaking and I have a stutter. And so I was hesitant to do things. And so I wanted to say, hey, thanks so much. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, that I think is my favorite feedback that we've gotten so far, is just anytime we can inspire people and educate at the same time. Like I don't need to get paid for that. That's all I need. Like, it just makes me happy to do it, you know?
Yeah. And people don't understand that. Yeah. Well, we say, a lot, or we say this and that. If that's what you got out of the show, well, that's what you got out of the show. But you know, you have three people, talking about their line of expertise for free just because they're having a good time. And as you said, you know, it is inspiring because I know I have people that had said to me, you know, like, oh, you have an accent. And I'm like, yeah, I'm bilingual. That's what happened when you speak more than one language.
Do you speak?
Right. You have a stutter. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean my brain is not working well enough to tell you, to share this information with you. And that, like always, you know, there are two sides of the coin, and there are people who are going to be uncomfortable with those things, and there are people who are going to be inspired. So I'm thrilled that we are inspiring people, that you are inspiring people. And the other thing that I want to entice people to really, like, come live, because I want to emphasize, what you see on the YouTube is the recording of the 1 hour where we are all yapping and apparently going, a lot. And it is quite important because we're asking questions about, you know, we're asking each other questions. Depending on the subject, the person who is the expert, it's kind of like leading the conversation and whatnot. And of course, Chris is hosting us. But then if you're watching live, you get to see the Q&A section. And sometimes the Q&A has the richer information than what was in the video. I'm not saying always, but sometimes it happens. So
yeah,
I really want to encourage folks to join us when we're doing it live on the Facebook Live on the Zoom Live, to join us at that moment when it's live. And then you can always go back to the recording and re-listen to us, you know, chatting. But I there's something about the Q&A that is always bringing like good stuff. And what people don't know, and I have to reveal, because you know, this is a lot of work, because Chris is organizing us during the week. He sets up the Zoom thing. He records the whole thing. He edits the whole thing. He puts it on YouTube, and he just tells us it's ready on YouTube. Go share. But then before the show goes live, he like a good producer, he sits with us and, you know, kind of like strategizes a little bit on how the thing is going to go. Though it's not scripted, it still needs a structure. And then afterwards, we do give each other feedback. And it's just so much fun. It is. I have missed
you guys. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. I missed a couple of weeks, and believe me, I have missed a lot. And I know I have a lot to catch up and learn. So if you haven't, you can find it on Chris's YouTube. What's your YouTube channel, Cole?
It's just Chris Allen, C-H-R-I-S-A-L-L-A-U-N. It's just Chris Allen.
You find him on Chris Allen's YouTube. I am replying them on my YouTube channel to the Stereo by Laura Gonzalez. And I'm also hanging them on like Facebook and on my pages and stuff. But go to Chris Allen YouTube, and then you can find from day one. How many we've done now? It's going to be the sixth one?
It's going to be the sixth show. Yeah, it's 6 weeks. I can't believe it. 6 weeks. Wow. Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah, join us, because it's a lot of fun. And speaking about more fun things that you do, please, I know people have been listening to me ranting the whole day because they want to hear about the book, The Other World, Ecstatic Witchcraft for the Spirits of the Land. And the first thing that jumps at me is the big difference between, yes, there is a spirit of the land, and then there is a land that could be haunted and people think it's alive and all this like Hollywood-esque fantastic crap that is not real. How do you go about differentiating between what is the spirit of the land and what is this Hollywood version of anything that has eyes could be possessed? That is like irresponsible. I think it's irresponsible to say, but that's why I always put the Hollywood-esque at the beginning. What a wonderful book.
Yeah, thank you. You know, so everything, just like what we were talking about the classes, how I write the books is about my experience. You know, and so a lot of the tread craft that I was trained in was very much about, it was like hands-on experience to the energies and the spirits of the earth. And so everything from the elves and fairies to the dragon energies of the earth to animal helpers, nature spirits, Mother Earth herself, stuff like that. And you know, it's interesting because I put, and this is just how I do all my books, the first part of a section is about the history and the folklore, and then I talk about the hands-on experience, and at the core of the book is about relationships, because I feel like if you want to be powerful, if you want to change your circumstances and you want to heal, or you, whatever it is you're seeking, you have to have relationships with the spirits themselves. And the book teaches how to do that. So, because a lot of books, like for example, on fairies, they'll talk about the lore and things, but they don't talk about how to engage. They'll say, "Oh, don't have iron," and on special days like on Samhain and Beltane, you can see fairies. I'm like, "Well, that's all great, but how do you have a relationship with them? How do you invite them to your spiritual practice and, well, not just call the spirits, but to actually work with them, to have a visceral experience? Like, for example, you know how in some traditions they just call the spirits, like, okay, we're going to call the fairies in, and that's it. Like, no, no, no. I want you to see the fairies, to talk to them, to work with them, to do magic with them, to have them teach you how to do magic and have them teach you how to heal and things like that. So that's the book in a 5-minute spiel.
And it is part of a wonderful collection. How did you decide that it was going to be a collection, or it just happened organically?
Half and half. So I wrote The Underworld, and originally The Underworld was 450 pages. And so my publisher at the time said, it was like, hey, for your first book, 500 pages is a lot. So we split the book in two. So you have Underworld and then Deeper into the Underworld. And then the feedback I got from the Underworld book is, hey, you made something very esoteric and very complicated seem very simple, which it is. I think people think if it isn't a hard ceremony or a hard ritual, it doesn't have power. And as we know, that's not true. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to do the same thing with Upper World because it's so abstract and it has all these things between the gods and invocation and star magic, which always, I think things like planetary magic and star magic scare people because it sounds hard. Like, oh my God, I have to know astrology. And yeah, you have to know your basic astrology, but I threw all that in the book anyway, so it's right there for you. And then after that, about halfway through, I was just like, I'm starting to see a pattern, so I need to do one more book about this. And so I have a whole section of books on all three worlds. And, you know, I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy with it.
And we're very happy that you are doing this collection and will continue to do. And you also say there's another book that will come out. Tell us a little bit about the newer book. Do you have a title yet?
What I can say is that, what can I say without giving it away?
If you cannot say much, then that's fine.
Well, I can say this, it works with the spirits for further healing. I can say that.
That's going to be awesome.
Just wait. You of all people are going to love it.
You say healing. Is that
the editor's
thing?
Right as we speak. Like I sent the other day, so I have to see their feedback because I'm waiting for them to say, how crazy are you? But that's the fun
that's
part.
That's awesome. Hey, speaking of the spirits of the land, I don't think I ever asked you this question. Did you grow up in Chicago?
No, I grew up on way deep in the country in Texas. So, south of Houston in Texas, I grew up in farm country. So like we didn't have a farm, but we had property. And so I was always around horses and the woods and like chickens and cows. We had a horse or whatever. And I was around goats all the time and ducks, like all of it. So, I'm a country boy by heart. Country. Like biscuits and gravy, barbecue, all of it. Yep.
Wow. I would never had imagined that. And I was asking you about Chicago because the book being about the spirits of the land, I have a very out there theory about Chicago and Mexico City. Well, before
okay,
I tell
I
you
wanna
my
hear
out there, yeah, before I tell you that, I wonder if in your book you talk about the spirits of the land here in Chicago, and if you can give us a little bit of a snippet of how to work with the spirits of the land.
So basically, I do believe that every city has a spirit in its own and energy of its own, absolutely. I don't really talk about that per se, but what I do talk about is that if you live in the country or the city, that you can find, you know, a piece of the earth that's at least kind of natural, so like a park or a lake. Or, I mean, we're blessed in Chicago because we have a beautiful Lake Michigan. We have all kinds of parks and forest preserves and things like that. But a little sample is wherever you can find some nature. It can be the ocean, a lake. It can be a forest. It can be the desert. It doesn't matter. Go out there. Take an offering of some sort, so it can be water, it can be alcohol, it can be flowers, it can be food, whatever. And you're going to sit in a meditation, and you're going to talk to the spirit of place and say, hey, spirit of place, I want to connect with the nature spirits here. And then you give your offering, and it doesn't matter how cheap or expensive it is. It's your intention, is the energy behind that. And you're going to close your eyes and breathe. And all you're going to do is open your heart chakra, and you're going to connect with the land itself. And then pay attention to what you hear through the wind blowing through the branches or the trees, or the sounds of birds or animals, or just silence. And the next thing you're going to do is you're going to connect with your feet and really try to connect with the pulse of the earth, the heartbeat of the earth itself. Then you're going to take some more deep breaths, and you're going to concentrate on your scent, like on the scent of nature, of the trees, of the flowers, or wherever you're at, or the ocean. And then when you have all these things, you're going to open up your heart chakra even more and invite any spirit to come to you and use your imagination. And sometimes the nature spirits appear as like half plant, half humans. Sometimes they look exactly like humans, or sometimes they just look like energy. And you're going to talk to them. You're going to introduce yourself, like, hi, I'm Chris Allen. I came here to connect and to have a relationship with you. And just talk to the spirit and get to know each other. And remember the spirit's name. Talk, ask them their name. And for example, you can take a token of the earth or a leaf or a flower, take it home with you and put it on your altar, and you can connect with that spirit all the time, daily, and they will teach you about nature. They'll teach you, like, for example, you also have to ask them what type of nature spirit they are. Are they a tree spirit? Are they a spirit of a flower or a plant or whatever? And find out the energies that they do. Find out, are they good at healing? Are they good at spirituality? What are their energies? And you go from there. And then, of course, you disconnect. You thank all the energies that you connected to. You thank your spirits. And then you leave your offering and go home.
Wow. And that should be...
And that's only that's only a teeny tiny section of the book.
And I think that should be a work that is done every time one works outside in nature. But who am I to tell people
yep.
how to do their magic? I'm nobody to tell them that. But there's a book. It will come out soon. You can pre-order now, right, through Amazon?
Yes,
or...
Yes, pre-order on Amazon. And if you can't afford to buy it today because you're on furlough or with the whole COVID situation, if you put it on your wish list, and every time someone does that, it puts it in the it increases the ranking on Amazon, so others who are just scrolling around can also find the but if you don't put it on your wish list, then it gets buried in the shuffle. My goal is to it's just the algorithm of Amazon and ranking and stuff. So every time you put it on your wish list, it increases the ranking. So when people are scrolling, since they can find it, it pops up, you know.
That's great. That's great. So let's help each other and let's do that Otherworld Ecstatic Witchcraft of the Spirits of the Land by Chris Allen, obviously. And what I was going to tell you about this theory of the spirits of the land between Chicago and Mexico City is this is, of course, I have to read my thing, personal gnosis. This is Laura's shenanigans. When you stand at Millennium Park by the Bean, on that space between the Bean and the lake, kind of like by the musical Pritzker Pavilion, the energy is the exact same energy as when you're standing right at the center of El Zócalo in Mexico City. El Zócalo is this big empty space that it's it has a name, but I can't remember. It's an empty space between buildings right at the heart of Mexico City, where Mexico City was founded by our Mexica ancestors, obviously. And it's the exact same feeling. It's the exact same energy. And I've always been enamored to Millennium Park and the Bean. And I know it recently turned 14 years old. And it feels like yesterday when they were building it. And the first time that I step in there, And I like to go to the Chicago Cultural Center and then the Bean and then the Prescott Pavilion, and then I make it to the lakefront sometimes because it's a nice little walk. And the feeling is the same. And the energy, the people, the electricity of the people there is the same as Mexico City. So one time I asked one of my friends, the creator of Freedom Healing, Silvina Paez, I asked her, why do you think it's so similar? Because I couldn't put it together. You know, I couldn't think about it. Now, mind you, she's from Chile. She's not from Mexico. And unless you are a history buff, you don't know that Mexico was built on a lake. So Mexico City is built on top of a lake. And
yes, I didn't know that.
That's what I'm saying. And she says that she's talking. She's talking to her spirit guides, and she tells me it has to do with water, and it has to do with a lake, with lakes. And I just fall off my chair because I'm like, what? It is the lake. It's the spirit of the lake, I guess, or the
Holy
energy
crap,
that
that's
is
amazing. Produced.
Yes.
Wow.
So when I tell
that's
people
so cool.
When I tell people from Mexico City, which are few and far in between here in Chicago, I'm like, how do you feel when you go to the Bean? And they're like, yeah, it's like going downtown in Mexico. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Wow. That's
and
cool.
It has to do with the lake. Yeah.
Wow. That's
and
awesome.
I, because, so growing up in Mexico, I lived in the suburbs. I'm from Mexico City, but for a time I live in the suburbs. And I used to lie to my mom, listen to this, I used to lie to my mom that I needed to go downtown to the library to do some research. This is pre-internet times, of course. And my mom will give me money, and I will pretend to go downtown to do research because I needed to go downtown and sit right there by the lake, by where the city was founded, because the energy fed me. I don't know what to tell you what it was. I was a 15-year-old child, but I would lie to my mother in order to get money to go downtown to sit right there. Uh-oh, Chris just dropped. I hope you can call back. Send him a message. Please call back. I guess the energy, the battery on his phone must have died. We're about to close the show anyway, but I wanted to share that anecdote about Mexico City with you all. And I'm just going to wait to see if Chris calls back. This is so funny. We're talking about the energy of the land, and then I lose the caller. anyway, see, this is what I was telling you, folks. Doing a show on your own is not fun. Thank you for calling back, Chris. I was just panicking, telling people it's not the same to do a podcast on your own than to have an interview. So yeah, that is the spirit in my perception. And again, I had to read this. This is unverified personal gnosis. This is just Laura's information that the scent, the feeling of the land in Mexico City, in my opinion, is the exact same as when you're standing right there between the Bean and the Pritzker Pavilion at Millennium Park. It feels the same. And
I'm
going to
have to try
friends,
that now.
Yeah. And according to my friend's spirit guide, my friend who lives in Chile, it's because of the lake. It has to do with the lake.
Wow. That's cool.
It is cool indeed. Nothing as cool as hanging with you, of course. We are a little bit over an hour because when do we not do this? Chris, I have to say thank you. Thank you so much for being always there for me, for answering the call every time that you are invited. Thank you for continuing teaching and sharing your knowledge with people, both what the things that you're doing online that are free, the things that you're doing online that are paid for, the books, the opportunities to learn. You really are a very selfless human being, and I love you because of that. Well, I love
you're
you
so
my
sweet.
Friend, but I love you because of everything you give back to the community. And thank you for being on the show, and I will leave you the microphone so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I always have a good time on this show. It's a fun, it's actually very relaxing. I enjoy it. And I appreciate everyone for tuning in, to listening and supporting us and all that. And I will talk to everyone soon. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And please don't forget to like the Facebook page, Chris Allen, author, shaman, teacher, and to go look for the books online. The newer one, Otherworld, Ecstatic Witchcraft for the Spirits of the Land, and then the whole collection, The Upper World, The Underworld, and then Deeper into the Underworld, all the books by Chris Allen. And, of course, we're looking forward to the new one. And, Chris, thank you for being here. Thank you for everyone to listen, whom are listening to Lunatic Mondays live or will listen later. And never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
Hey ya, hey ya, ya, hey, hey ya, hey ya, ya, oh. Hey ya, hey ya, ya, hey, hey ya, hey ya, ya, oh. Soy mujer de aire, soy mujer de tierra, soy mujer de agua, soy mujer de fuego, soy mujer. Soy mujer, soy mujer antigua, soy mujer nueva, soy mujer sagrada, soy mujer divina, soy mujer, soy mujer. Hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, hey. Hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, oh. Hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, hey. Hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, oh. Soy mujer de aire, soy mujer de tierra, soy mujer de agua, soy mujer de fuego, soy mujer. Soy mujer, soy mujer antigua, soy mujer nueva, soy mujer sagrada, soy mujer divina, soy mujer, ella, 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 de aire, soy mujer de tierra, soy mujer de agua, soy mujer de fuego, soy mujer, soy mujer, soy mujer antigua, soy mujer nueva, soy mujer sagrada, soy mujer divina, soy mujer, hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, hey, hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, oh, hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, hey, hey, ya, hey, ya, ya, oh.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.